to Sacramento.
ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
This is one of those days where I have to actively make myself focus on the main thing.
Yeah?
Because the Kings might have gotten their best win of the last decade last night. And we're going to talk a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got March Madness going.
Yes.
It has officially started. We're going to have updates. We're going to update scores. So if you're like recording, we'll give you a heads up. But any person who's trying to record March Madness and not seeing any spoilers or hearing any spoilers is an insane person. So we're going to do spoilers on scores. Creighton's up 20 on Louisville early.
Yeah.
Oof. Not a good start for my cards. I have them going to the Elite Eight. I don't. I drove through Narnia today.
Yeah, this is weird.
We're talking pyramids in the pre-show chat in the chatty house.
Okay.
But we'll get to all of it. We got to start with the Kings 123-119 victory over the Cavs last night. I said best win of the year. You said best win of the last 3 years?
I think so.
I'm not going that far.
I don't know, man. You're facing a team that, sure, they had lost two in a row, but that just meant that they were dangerous.
Go ahead. Sorry. Make the case.
But they're 56-12 coming in.
Yeah, no doubt.
56-12. Yeah. There were 44 games over 500.
Yeah, it's a good team.
The Kings were two.
They're a good team.
Well, now they're two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really good team. And you're playing without three of your eight rotational players, including probably your best two players,
mm-hmm.
and Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis. I don't know.
Which is curious.
Yeah, all of it's weird. I don't know what's happening there. Really, you know, we do know Domas is going to be out for probably until, you know, at least the Blazers game, maybe the road trip. But for the Kings to step up like that in a very, very crucial spot.
It's awesome.
Like, all of a sudden, you've got a shot at this, you know, looking at this horrible homestand of actually maybe being able to pull out a 500 road, a homestand.
Bro, if they play like they did last night, they will.
Yes.
And this is the thing with the Kings, and this is why it's so difficult. As badly, as low as you and I have been on them at points this year,
mm-hmm.
it's impossible to write them off entirely because they are not... Okay, the Chicago Bulls, who the Kings play tonight,
mm-hmm.
are the 9 seed in the East.
It's two 9 seeds?
Yeah, but the Bulls are a team where you're like, they stink.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls are likely going to be in the play-in. And they're either 1-done or 2-done, or if they happen to make the playoffs, they're going to get mollywopped in the first round.
The Bulls traded their best player, and they came away with Kevin Huerter.
Yes, correct.
So as opposed to the Kings, who traded their best player and came away with Zach LaVine.
Who is the Bulls' best player.
Yeah, who is the Bulls' best player.
No, so it's like, this is why you can't just you can bury the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about them a little bit later. But you can bury the Bulls as a 9 seed in the East. That team stinks. With the Kings, you see games like last night. And it's not, oh wow, it's the first time they've played well all year. They've now beaten the Cavs and Boston. They're 2-0 against the top two teams in the East. And they played awesome in those games. Last night was not some weird fluke where the Cavs went 2 of 40 from beyond the arc and you're like, yeah, well, that'll never happen again. No, the Kings just played really well.
Yeah.
They got contributions up and down the roster. I thought the way they closed the game was really impressive. It was a clear pecking order. It was DeMar DeRozan, and then it was Malik Monk. And when DeMar DeRozan got doubled, he gave it to Monk, and it was Monk one-on-one, and he cooked. And DeMar, obviously, in the lead-up to that point, was awesome down the stretch, too. It's like they just made sense last night.
Yep.
When everybody is playing the way they played, I thought, Keegan Murray, despite going, was he 5 of 11? He only had 13 points, but he was sensational. He had a couple of big rebounds late. Defensively, I thought he was good. Keon Ellis in the starting lineup, excellent. Again, Jonas Valanciunas didn't close the game, but was very good for the 25 minutes he did play. You mentioned Trey Lyles before the show. His best game of the year?
Trey Lyles was tremendous. I don't know if tremendous. People... He had 13 points. He finished with 7 rebounds, and he had 5 assists. That rebound and putback that he had late in the game...
Sick. So
he
sick.
Just went up amongst the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that team is so long and athletic,
mm-hmm.
and he just flew in, grabbed the rebound, put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge performance by Trey Lyles.
One of the most impressive things I've seen all year, speaking of the Cavs front court, was... DeMar DeRozan seeking out the switch on Evan Mobley, who's one of the top 2 front runners for Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah, he's up there.
He is a dynamite defense, and it's not a fake-ass Defensive Player of the Year where he just has a bunch of blocks, and then you watch him, and you're like, he's an awesome defender.
Yeah.
And DeRozan just cooked him, fried him, drove past him, little step back, shooting over him, didn't matter, just cash. And then you get, we talked about Trey Lyles' best game of the year, Devin Carter's best game of his career.
Oh, by far the best game of his career.
Not even close.
Well, I mean, that was his career high, 16 points.
Yeah.
His best, I think, before was either
10?
11 or 12.
Yeah, so, and I want to stop on Devin Carter for a second, because DeMar DeRozan putting up 11 of his 27 points in the fourth quarter is not a shock. DeMar DeRozan down the stretch hitting big shots is not anything anyone's... Like, oh, whoa, that's crazy. The Devin Carter thing, and the reason it's so encouraging for me, is this is now, what, like 4 games in a row?
Yeah.
That he's played, and you can see the progress. You see, like, tangible evidence that this player is starting to get his sea legs in the NFL, or in the NBA, excuse me.
Yeah, to me, that's one of the biggest developments late in the season here.
1,000%.
You know, again, Markelle Fultz got some action last night, which he hadn't in a while, and I thought he played well initially, but then Devin Carter comes in the game, and he just jumps off the screen. His confidence level, it's funny, because I asked Keegan about, you know, whether he's had conversations with Devin Carter about the ups and downs of being a rookie, and, mm-hmm. you know, because he, as a third-year guy, you're a lot closer to it
mm-hmm.
than, you know, having a veteran come over and say
sure.
something, right? And... Keegan actually smiled. He goes, yeah, he's really confident. I just kind of smiled. Like, wow. He's like, yeah, I don't, you know, yeah, have we had conversations? Yeah, but like at the same time, he's a really, really confident dude. And like, you don't really need to have conversations with him about, you know, like how tough a rookie season is.
Sure.
So, yeah, just kind of different, but either way, like the step-back threes and stuff, like, what in the world? Like,
I mean, out of nowhere.
The fact that they went in is one thing. The fact that he took them, like, and then I also felt like there were plenty of moments where he didn't force it, because mm-hmm. I thought that that's been my biggest mm-hmm. gripe with him. It is always me, 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 me.
It's just, and it's 1,000 miles an hour with no plan.
Yeah, it's like throwing up ill-advised shots in the mm-hmm. key. It's falling down. It's like these rainbow threes that look like they're going to scrape the scoreboard. But last night, I saw him give up the ball multiple times, defer to the veterans on the team, and I thought all of that was really good. Maybe it's possible that he was just playing with starters more minutes than he typically does.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's why he acquiesced a little bit, but... To me, I thought it was a really big growing moment for him. And he's been able to do that over the last, you know, week or so.
Mm-hmm.
The steal numbers are going up.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see, like, hey, there is something here. Mm-hmm. It's just going to – he just needs an offseason.
The other thing that jumps out to me from last night is with Devin Carter specifically is he plays a really, like, dogged physical brand of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And he only committed 2 fouls. Like, typically, Chris Duarte last year
is
the same type of defender.
Yeah.
But would just start mollywopping people. And you're like, dude, you played 4 minutes. You got 4 fouls. What are you doing? So Devin Carter learning that aspect of the game and being able to bring that and just figuring out. And I'm sure based on your conversation with Keegan, that Devin Carter is one of those guys that walks around. He's like, I'm him. Like, just all the time. And you kind of have to if you're going to have hair like that. And I think him figuring out how to be impactful on this team without being the guy who's going to lead the team in shots, without being the guy who they're going to go to for a big shot down the stretch. He's going to be involved, but he knows he has to create his opportunities. That's something we've talked about with Keegan a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Is, hey, you're probably not going to get the ball swung to you a lot, so go get your own rebound. Go create a possession. Go get that loose ball. Go grab a steal and get a leak out for a dunk. Go find out. So for Devin Carter not only to figure out just how to keep up in the NBA and play at that pace, because it did early on, it just looked a little fast for him.
Yep.
But seeing the game slow down and then having him affect the game the way that he does and doing the little things on the margins that the Kings just don't do a lot of, like we talk about all the time, is really impressive. And this is a player that I did not think would be a huge factor for the Kings down the stretch. So for him to have a string 3-4 games together and then have it culminate last night against the best team in the East with a career-high 16 points, hit a massive three late, mm-hmm. with some really good defense, pulling down 5 rebounds. I was extremely, extremely impressed with Devin Carter last night.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a moment where he gets back to who he is as a player. And right now, you know, everything is going a million miles an hour, like you talked about. The previous three games where he'd actually played, I mean, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 11 minutes, mm-hmm. he only had one rebound in each of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, that's who he is. He's a very, very good rebounder.
Yeah, smart player.
Yeah, and then watching him, Malik Monk fed him on the break for that huge dunk, mm-hmm. which, of course, not the Kings, but the broadcast kind of like messed up with using, what did they call it?
Vantage point? Yeah. Boy, did they.
Are we going to talk about vantage
point? Yeah, we can talk about the damn vantage point. What are we doing here, bro?
You know what I love? I love because I worked at NBC for 6 years, right?
Right.
So anytime something goes wrong with the broadcast, the default setting is for everyone to just tweet me, hey, something's wrong with the broadcast. They're doing a weird... Why are they doing a weird... camera angle, James? And I'm like,
I feel so bad for you. That sounds horrible.
I don't work there anymore. Ooh. I don't know, and I haven't worked there for years.
You know people, though.
So that's why I did hashtag blame Deuce last night.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so Deuce can be the one who answers that question all the time. That's fine.
Sure.
Like, no, whatever.
I like that. No, yeah. I think that's fine. I'll also be blaming Deuce.
Yeah.
That's cool. Salute to Deuce and Mo. Yeah, man. A classic... like technology for the sake of technology moment for NBC last night,
mm-hmm.
where I don't know what it's literally when I say technology for the sake of technology, it's like they have this thing and they went, oh, hey, let's just deploy that and see what happens. It didn't serve any function. It didn't serve any purpose.
No,
they would at the end of the game, they started doing that. Like after replays, they'd go, You'd hear Draper go, all right, Katie, and let's check that out on the Vantage point. And then they'd show it, and you're like, all right, that was a replay.
Literally, you took the words out of my mouth. Last night, especially when it would be like the courtside Vantage point,
mm-hmm.
it had like a little filter on it. It was like they're focusing on the players a little bit more, I guess. But it was just confusing. Like when it would go baseline and there'd be people mm-hmm. standing up in the way.
Yes. Like I don't like that is the vantage point sometimes. Sometimes people do stand up
exactly.
in your way. But I'm sorry, I don't want to stare at a guy in a Mike Bibby jersey. Dude, I just don't.
I'm short in real life, dude. I don't have to deal with this on TV. I can't stand up any taller.
Yes.
That's spectacular.
And Zabo brings up they ruined Devin Carter's dunk. Yes, your rookie just goes freaking nuclear and you're seeing it from the freaking 400 level.
Yeah. Dude. Like, yeah.
For what?
The outside.
Instagram video was better.
Like, yes.
Unreal. Unreal.
It did not serve a purpose outside. Like Amazon and with the NFL has done the what do they call it, the broadcast view or whatever they call, where you see like all 22, like it's a zoomed out version of the broadcast, which is valuable in the NFL because the typical TV angle, you're getting like the offensive and defensive line, you get the quarterback and the running back and maybe the linebackers, but like what's happening at corner and safety, it's like off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really tell kind of what's going on back there. And when a quarterback's throwing deep, like you don't know what's happening until they pan out. So if you have a zoomed out view where you can see the all 22 view,
yeah,
it makes sense. In the NBA, everything's just right there already. We don't need a zoomed out.
I think you can see like driving lanes, and you can, if you really want to see that. But what there should be is like an alternative view. If you want to pay an extra $3 a month or something, you can get an alternative view that looks like this.
Yep.
And, you know, or you can pan to a couple of different things, you know.
Sure.
I was under the impression, like coming into the game, that there was going to be something new that they were trying, but that it was not going to be on the actual broadcast, that it was going to be something that was that they were just running simultaneously to test out and see what it looked like. And then all of a sudden just like getting flooded, like, oh my gosh, this is so horrible. And again, I don't have a monitor. I have a monitor with stats.
Yeah.
Right?
But you don't get the TV view.
Yeah, I don't get the TV view. But it was absolutely wild how many people were frustrated and angry. And just not great.
I did not see a single person, and I'm sure there were people out there. My Twitter is a very small corner of the greater NBA fan base. My corner of that corner is a tiny sliver of Kings fandom. I did not see a single person like love Vantage Point. And it was just they kept trying to shove it down our throats. Pause. Like, it was just, hey, how about let's check out the Vantage Point? How about the Vantage Point? Let's go to the Vantage Point. Like, I don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. Show me a replay point. That's all I want. Like, bro, we are trying to drag the Kings across the finish line to beat the Cavs. I don't give a damn about a fancy camera angle.
Yep.
I'm trying to get a stop and a score. I'm trying, like,
they managed to do this on like the most exciting game too.
Right.
Of course. Right. Of course.
And it's not, that's not, this was not the King's choice. It was not, this is not to like actually, it was NBC had some cool technology.
Yep.
They wanted to try it. And hey, you gotta pull the plug.
Maybe a preseason game next time.
Yeah. Well, and okay, cool. You have proof positive. That's right. If they had tried it tonight against the Bulls, I think it's a little different. But last night, it was a super intense game.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I think it's also possible that the Sacramento Kings were watching Vantage Point while they were making 4 field goals in the first quarter. It's possible. Because they only ran it through the first quarter, right?
They started doing replays.
Okay.
Later in the game.
It disappeared after halftime for the most part.
It was almost like they saw the comments.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sonny Jr. Live says he didn't mind it.
So there were people.
You're the one.
People were like, I'm getting seasick watching the game. What is happening?
Yeah. Not good. All right. We got plenty more on the Kings and Cavs game. Kings also playing the Bulls tonight. We're not going to talk about Vantage Point anymore, unless you would like to. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. We'll have more Kings, Cavs, Kings, Bulls. No LaVine, no Sabonis, no problem last night. We'll talk about that next here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey. Calling Joe Timu Jesse is wild disrespectful. That's insane.
Hold on a second. Who said that? I didn't even see that.
Drew Down said that in the chat.
I thought we were cool.
YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320.
Oh, man. I thought we were cool, too.
Hey, calm down over there, Timu Jess.
Joe, that's when you realize that Drew Down is really just a bully.
Just a mean, mean guy.
I'll go ahead.
He's very loud.
I'll take a seat back. Right, I'll take a step back. I'm going to turn off the mic. I'm going to tuck myself away here. So you guys go ahead and have a great show.
Pull your hoodie up high. Pull your hoodie on.
Joe Brazil behind the glass. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Kings beat the Mavs. Not the Mavs. Definitely not the Mavs. The Kings beat the Cavaliers last night, 123-119. I was going to give a quick NCAA bracket update, but both the games we have on are at commercial. So, moving on.
Hmm.
No Zach LaVine last night. No Domantas Sabonis last night.
Nope.
The Kings beat the team that was tied for the best record in the NBA last night.
And no Jake LaRavia.
No Jake LaRavia.
Yeah, and Jake LaRavia has played really well and been like a difference maker for the Kings.
I think Devin Carter filled a lot of the like role that Jake LaRavia has been filling last night.
He did. Yeah. Just like a frenetic all over the place. I mean, played 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I thought he earned all of them.
1,000%.
Yeah.
He was really freaking good last night. No LaVine and no Sabonis and the Kings playing as well as they did just adds fuel to my thought that the roster as presently constructed doesn't make sense, because you can remove two major pieces mm-hmm. and then everything makes more sense down the stretch. It's not a bunch of people standing around and nobody knows what the pecking order is. Like, no, it's DeMar DeRozan down the stretch, and Malik Monk is the very clear number two. And Trey Lyles is going to come in, and he's going to be the backup five. You know exactly what you need from him. You know exactly what you need from Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis and Devin Carter. And wow, look at this. Everybody fits their roles. And they played great. When everybody has a defined role, everybody knows exactly what they're doing. Nobody has to defer to Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan or Malik Monk and like, oh, no, I can't. Like, no, man. They just went out and they just hooped. They just played basketball. And it just looked so much more fluid. The energy was great. I don't think it's a coincidence that they played as well as they did in a spot where their roles were much more defined.
Yeah, and I mean they're defined out of necessity.
Right.
Yeah. I mean
you're forced into it.
Yeah, if that's what you have to do, then sometimes it works. I think the great franchises in the league, they have a system in place that can withstand, you know, in major injuries mm-hmm. that, you know, and you can't withstand every injury, right?
Right.
But like you have a system in place where it's next man up. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, again, Doug Christie is going to give credit to a lot of coaches for who he like models his career after, right? Yeah. As long as he continues to coach, right? Pete Carril, huge influence in his life, mm-hmm. right? And there's going to be other coaches he's going to mention. But the biggest coach that he played for in Sacramento was Rick Adelman. Mm-hmm. And Doug has talked about this. He didn't know how to play basketball. He played basketball, but he didn't really understand the game of basketball until he got to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was such a thinking man's team,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Pete Carril running this specific style of the Princeton offense and like Rick Adelman running the show. But I will tell you, like throughout his career, whether it was in Sacramento or it was in Minnesota or it was in mm-hmm. Houston, Rick Adelman to me was one of the greatest next man up coaches of all time. Like,
sure. Is that from a just mentality standpoint or an adjustment stand? What makes him a great next man up coach?
So what he did is he created a system and empowered his players that when Mike Bibby went down, somebody else would step right in. Everyone would continue in their roles and the Kings would keep winning. When Chris Webber blew out his knee, they went out, they traded for Brad Miller. But that losing Chris Webber, and even though Brad Miller was a very, very good player, the Kings were the best team in basketball mm-hmm. with Chris Webber on the shelf.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Peja Stojakovic missed games, Hedo Turkoglu stepped right in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had defined roles. Everybody knew exactly who they were. But when somebody was out,
mm-hmm.
the players that were normally not big scorers or not big rebound, they all took it upon themselves to elevate their games. Mm-hmm. And we saw it a ton in Sacramento. But for me, the biggest thing was when he went to Houston, they won 22 straight at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And
God, so many freaking games.
Halfway through that, they lost Yao Ming.
Yeah.
And then deeper into the win streak, they lost Tracy McGrady. And they just kept winning.
Man.
They kept winning with random dudes, mm-hmm. with Carl Landry playing massive minutes. You know, like it didn't matter.
King's legend.
So they have, there's a system in place that's one thing. But also, like I asked Doug about establishing that. How do you establish that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, look, you know, like the best I can do right now is that I love everybody. And I love each of them, and I try to empower each of them. I don't just stop at the stars and just talk to the stars. I talk to everybody.
Yeah.
I sit there and have, like, they all feel that I know who they are and I know what I can get out of them, and they know what to expect from me. But it's something that you hope that they can establish, because, you know, we talked about this the other day when Memphis rolled through, right? Mm-hmm. Which, again, another very impressive win for this team.
Yep.
But Memphis has a style of play that you want to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to play that hard,
mm-hmm.
and just be that physical and make everybody play a full 48 minutes against you.
No matter what five players are on the court.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can mirror that with, like, a next man up mentality where all of a sudden, you know, everybody is playing that physical style, they're, mm-hmm. you know, that's when you can go to a 10-man rotation. That's when you can do other things like what Steve Kerr did early in the season. Mm-hmm. And so I think they might be onto something here with, you know, what you said, like losing a couple of guys, but having a more natural fitting lineup.
Yeah.
But I also thought, like, look, everybody elevated their game. Stephen Carter elevated his game. Trey Lyles elevated his game to make up for it. You know, you expect Jonas Valanciunas to walk out there and get a double-double, but it's the other players that took that next step last night that really shows you, like, okay, that's how you have to play. That's how you have to develop a system
mm-hmm.
where guys feel empowered when they get their opportunity.
The next step here is when they are fully healthy, guys still step in and play those roles the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm contending that Trey Lyles and Devin Carter, it's not a miracle that they just happened to step up and play well when given more minutes. It was, hey, you're in. You're playing 25-plus minutes tonight, like, just out of necessity. And when you're playing free and you're just playing hoop and you know that, hey, you can make a mistake, you can, or the team needs you in this very specific way, I think it makes it easier. I think it makes it easier to play the sport. And it's not, and I want to really make this clear, because I saw Odyssey Fryer in the chat. He said, what you're saying is the Kings are better without LaVine. What if DeRozan and or Monk miss a few of those shots last night? Yeah, if the Kings miss shots, they lose. Yeah, that's the sport. But I'm not saying LaVine specifically. This isn't about a specific player.
Mm-hmm.
This is about when you take out two key pieces for the Kings, whether it's Zach LaVine, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis, or otherwise, when you remove them from the equation, everything makes more sense. The roles are more defined. There's no question about, like, oh, we got to get Zach some shots, and DeMar's going to get his shots, and okay, what's Malik doing here? And then, okay, we're running some stuff through Sabonis, but what's he doing? Like, there's no question about that when Trey Lyles and Devin Carter and Keon Ellis get into the game. They know exactly what the team needs from them, and they know exactly what their role is going to be on that night, and they know that they are going to play.
Yeah.
And I think that just makes it easier. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe LaVine and Sabonis are out tonight. I don't know if that Sabonis will be. I don't know what's going on with Zach LaVine. But if they're both out tonight, yeah, maybe they miss a bunch of shots and they lose and it looks different. But as we talk about what does this look like going forward,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about this roster making sense, that was a really good example. I used the Warriors example without Steph Curry against the Bucks, and then the Kings gave us our own example right here. It makes more sense, and it looked better, without those guys on the floor. What's up, Joe?
I think I totally agree with you. I think to your point, it's kind of reminded me of like a rowing team. You know, if you have too many strong guys on the left side, you're just going to go in circles. You need to, you get what I'm saying? You need to have a balance throughout the whole boat. And if you got all these guys fighting each other on the right side, they're all strong. You're just going in circles. So I agree. I think it flowed a lot better last night like that.
And, it's our first ever rowing analogy.
Right?
Work.
Well, and that's why we've talked about this so many times. Sometimes it's not about going out and getting more talent. It's about getting better fits. It's about getting players that fit what you're trying to do. Like, you can't just load up with 5 20-point-per-game scorers, because number one, that leaves no shots for the other 10 guys on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they're going to fight with each other to do that. Mm-hmm. Unless you have just like the most complete 5-man rotation of 20-point-per-game scores that can do everything and that all support each other and want to be there for each other, it just never works out. And, you know, to be honest with you, you bring up, well, if they would have missed a couple more shots, you know, then they would have lost. I hate to tell you this. The Kings shot like 4 of 23 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the worst first quarters I've ever seen.
They were it had big like 30-point loss energy to the first quarter.
They had 15 points.
Rough.
And somehow they're only down 7 because they played defense and they gave themselves a shot. Then they come out in the third quarter and they dropped a 43 spot on the Cavs, who are one of the better defensive teams in the league.
Yes.
Just thrashed them.
It was incredible.
So I get what you're saying, but like at the same time, you have to look at a balanced roster that has, again, top-tier stars. Now, you need replacement stars for when those guys go out, but it does make more sense sometimes. And and again, we don't know what's going on with Zach LaVine. He missed last night's game due to personal issues. He did actually show up in the locker room late last night.
That's good.
And I don't know if that was like he got back in town or I don't know what it was. I have no idea.
Sure.
He did not speak to anybody. He did not speak to the media, but Malik Monk was doing his post game and he walked in and said hello to Malik during the post game. So, you know, maybe he plays tonight. Maybe he doesn't. We have no idea. But again, with these things, look, Zach is a guy with four kids and his wife just had a baby and like what if he's got personal reasons, I'm not going to mess with him and I'm going to say, hey, bro, you go take care of whatever it is you got to take care of because these things go sideways quick and like I'm never going to put that on a player.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's hope that he will be back and you have to figure out ways to integrate players when they do come back.
Yeah.
And it can't just be like Domantas Sabonis has to shoulder everything or Malik Monk has to shoulder everything. And they also can't feel like that's what they have to do. They have to feel like they've got to go out and do their job and that the other guys need to elevate their games as well.
Yes.
Like if you're missing 40 points from your lineup like they were last night, 42 points, maybe even 48 if you figure
40 in, plus.
Yeah, Jake LaRavia. Not one player is going to go out there and score that. But what you did get, you got a 27-point night. So you got 3 or 4 extra points from DeMar DeRozan. You got extra points from different players. And that's how you step up and sort of support each other in a time where things get a little dicey.
And I think spinning this forward, a game like last night can be so valuable. Why did I say that like that? Like last night? A game like last night can be so valuable because it does show, hey, Devin Carter, you had 30 minutes and you did these things really well. This is what your job is going forward. One, Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis are back. Trey Lyles. Like, I think Trey Lyles knows what his role is supposed to be. It's just a matter of just playing well, I guess, like hitting some shots.
It's a matter of him hitting his three. Like, if he hits his three, he's just a more confident player.
Yeah. Yes.
And overall,
less tentative.
I still think that there are games where he doesn't score. Like the other night, he had 9 rebounds. He was tremendous.
Yeah.
He didn't score a bunch of points. I think he's 6 or 7 points, but
drew a charge, I think.
Yeah. Well, he typically draws, or he drew a charge and they called it the other way.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's where, like, if you can take last night and use that as a, hey, Devin, if you're going to play 15 minutes, no matter who's on the court, because that's the thing. Trey Lyles can do what he did last night, no matter who's on the court. It shouldn't matter. Devin Carter can do what he did last night. It shouldn't matter who's on the court. And so if they can figure out how to play that style and have that impact while the Kings are fully healthy, that's kind of the next step for me. But I don't know that's going to be possible to figure out here in the next 12 games.
Well, that, and we don't know who will be the head coach next year. We don't know who will be the general manager putting the pieces in place. We don't know a lot of things.
I think there's something too. You mentioned Doug Christie earlier and how he had all these different coaches and he you know, doesn't just talk to the stars. He talks to everyone and everybody's equal and this and that. I think there's value to having a role player as a head coach. Because I think that's something that Ty Lue is very good at. He was a NBA role player. Steve Kerr, that's one of his whole things, is like, everybody has to touch the ball. Like, I was a role player my whole career. It sucks when you get planted in the corner and you don't touch the ball. So that's his whole thing. Doug Christie, same deal. Like, he was bouncing around the league, good player, found the ultimate success here in Sacramento because he was embraced as a, hey, you're not going to be a one or a two, but you're going to be hella valuable in this way.
He was
these ways.
The fifth option on a great team.
Yeah, but a vital glue piece.
But also a great, like, he was the primary point guard for most of those seasons. Mike Bibby had the point guard title because he was shorter and he was the best defender on the team.
Mm-hmm.
There, he brought so much to it. And I agree with you. It's again, it's kind of like why in Major League Baseball, so many catchers take the managerial roles. Mm-hmm. It's just because they think of the game a different way.
Yep.
You know, people who are willing to give more of themselves and are glue guys, they make good coaches.
Yep. 1,000% all right. We got Kings Bulls tonight. We'll get a bracket check in, and then we'll take a look around the NBA from last night and whether the Kings got any help. Got a little shakeup in the Western standings. We'll talk about that coming up. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's behind the glass. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and it's Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm locking it in.
All right, I'm here for it.
Give you my underdog lineup here in a minute. We're going to have another bracket update, but we're once again at commercial twice. So I'm going to have to do this the old-fashioned way here and go to the internet. Louisville is cut into Creighton's lead 65-50. Creighton leads that one. They were up by 20 last I looked there. Purdue pulling away from High Point. They're up 10 at halftime. Wisconsin-Montana underway. Wisconsin leading the Grizzlies by 3.
All right.
Early first half.
You know,
how has college basketball not gone to quarters yet? What are we doing?
I don't know.
It's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
There's no argument that anyone can make to me that is going to make me think that halves are better than quarters. Warren, to answer your question. Shout out to Warren, our guy. We are up in here. What are we going to do? Oh, Kings Bulls tonight. Yes. Okay. Great. We're back. Big time chance for the Kings tonight to get to a third straight win. Get back to 3 games over .500. Bulls second night of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls are hilarious to me. Because they have done the like tear down to rebuild thing. They traded Alex Caruso. They bring in Josh Giddey. They traded away Zach LaVine. They traded away DeMar DeRozan this offseason. They've tried to kind of tear it down to rebuild it, but then they don't trade Vucevic. He's still there. I think they're trying to build around Kobe White.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a rebuild and gone nowhere. I feel the exact same about the Bulls as I did last season this time.
Yeah.
They're just kind of there. They are in no man's land.
You know what they are? They're like the late 2000, the like 2017, 18, 19, 20 Orlando Magic. It's the same team. It's
oh,
like,
with Aaron Gordon?
Yeah, it's like, and Vucevic.
Yeah.
But they have a bunch of talent, but it doesn't work together. And they keep thinking, oh, one tweak here, one tweak there, we'll add DeMar DeRozan. That will get us over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
None of it ever works, and I don't know why that is, but it's a bad place to be in, and they're kind of in where the Kings were all through the 90s, where mm-hmm. you draft number 7 every year.
Yep.
And it's just really tough to improve and take that next step when you don't either get in the top of the lottery or you don't get like a swing for the fence free agent.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of stuck. Yeah.
That's my biggest fear with the Kings.
Of course.
I know the vibes have been high today, and they should be, and they're looking for their third win in a row tonight, looking to try and climb up out of the 9 seed. Great. I'm so worried about falling into no man's land, which is like the Bulls had Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan
mm-hmm.
and couldn't quite figure out how to make that work, and so they tore it down, and now they're where they're at. And the Kings now have Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, and they're trying to figure out how to make it work.
There should never be a true run it back. I think we just learned that here in Sacramento. But
unless you win a title.
Yeah, but even that, great title teams continue to evolve and they continue to get better because just flat out teams figure you out. Like the DHO game, part of the reason the Kings don't do the DHO game like 55 times a game is because teams figured it out and you've got to have another pitch. And for me, like, you have got to be evolving as a general manager, as a coaching staff, as a team at all times. And you've got to be developing new things that are going to make you different from one year to the next. And I just really do feel like the Kings, by going stagnant, got themselves into this situation. And then the answers weren't the right answers. They were default answers. So, again, this isn't a knock on DeMar DeRozan, but... You know, Domantas Sabonis told us they had two other trades fall through before the two other deals fall through before they got DeMar DeRozan. And he's not like a last ditch option, but, you know, when you're looking at your summer and you want to improve at the small forward position, you want this, this, and this, like DeMar DeRozan checked very few of any of those boxes. Sure. Like, can he score? Heck yeah, he can score. And actually, you know, for that matter, DeMar DeRozan, so people know, he is, I believe, 14 points away from 25,000 for his career. So tonight, he will have a moment against his former team. He's 17 points away. He's at 24,983 points. Like, he's an incredible scorer, and he has been for 16 years in the league. That doesn't change the fact that if the Kings had their choice of like, three or four options to improve at that position, they probably wouldn't have chosen a ball dominant 6 foot six, non-defensive playing 35-year-old over Cam Johnson or someone else. And again, it's not about who's a better player. It's about who's a better fit for your team and your build. And now you're in a totally different space, a totally different direction. But, like, that's where they have to go this summer. They have to improve this roster so they don't get caught in exactly what you're talking about, Kyle.
Yeah.
You cannot get caught in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th in the draft every single year. That is just, it is and, mediocrity.
Yeah, and being afraid to take a swing, like, being afraid to go, oh, hey, we're kind of sort of in the mix for the playoffs, where if we get career years from everybody, oh, hey, then we're cooking with gas. And if not, then we're going to add a mediocre asset in the draft, and we're just going to kind of continue this cycle. Like, when you get close, you have to be willing to flip the spread at some point.
Yeah.
And take a leap and really go for it. Unless you fall backwards into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and they develop at the rate that they developed, and all of a sudden now the pieces you need to put around them are really like clearly defined and you have a long runway to do that, that's very rare for that to happen. You at some point have to take a big swing, or this is where you're going to be forever. You get stuck in that cycle of, well...
We're
Man,
close. We're,
yeah, if we just add this one piece, hey, maybe the 10th pick in the draft will come in and be a difference maker. Like, all right, maybe.
It's part of death by mid-level exception.
Yeah, man.
It is, where you keep thinking that, oh, if we just add this, it used to be a $5 million player, but now it's a $13 million player. If we just add this one $13 million player, that might be enough to get us over the hump. It might be enough. And you keep chasing that. And next thing you know, you got three of those guys on your roster. None of them are good enough.
Right.
And you're flat out mid. And that's where you have to try to avoid at all costs, is that moment where, like, you really can't move forward as a franchise because you've locked yourself into specific contracts and stuff.
It feels like what the Bulls are doing again. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Bulls have had some bad luck here and there. You know, again, Patrick Williams has been hurt most of his career. You know, they signed Lonzo Ball to a big contract, and he's been hurt like almost the entire time. So they haven't had good luck. But in addition to that, you can see a bad team build. You can see it like from the...
For sure.
Yeah, this is not 2K. It's not. You can't just go out there and think that you're going to build a roster that looks good on paper and it's all going to work. And I mean, again, that's why the Kings right now are two games over 500.
The talent on their roster is significantly better than two games over 500.
The talent just on the roster. Just
in a vacuum.
Yes.
Should be way better.
Kyle, the talent on the roster is better than the 2022-23 roster that they won 48 games.
Yes.
Like, I have no problems. The talent is much better. It's better. In my opinion. Right now? Yes. Like, you have way better depth. You have way more pieces that make sense. You have way more pieces that you think might have value. But at the end of the day, they don't fit together.
No.
I mean, look, one through, like, we get to the 12th, 13th man. You're still talking about, like, Jay Crowder and Doug McDermott and actual NBA players.
Sure.
You know, not like what they had assembled before.
I was going to. All right. That's fine.
You want to fight me on this?
No. I don't. I would just. Because, like you said, once you start going through it, I just thought we were going to get, like, Terrence Davis slander, and I was not going to be here for that.
Oh, you're not here for TD?
I was not going to be here for Terrence Davis slander. No. No, that's fine. I think you're right. Where I'm getting caught up is kind of what we've been talking about. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but like the 22-23 team was just so significantly better.
Oh, of course.
From a just team standpoint.
It's about team
building. Which is where I'm getting caught
up,
but you're right. They are more talented this year.
Yeah. Just straight team build?
Yeah.
Yeah, that team fit better.
It also helped that you got a career year from Kevin Huerter, and Keegan Murray was really, really good offensively out of the gate. And their offense was, nobody really had answers for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely helped. But all right, that's fine. I see Big E on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. We will get to him shortly, and we'll get to anybody who wants to jump on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Two things I want to get to next. One, and if you would like to join us on the show, please do. How worried are you about the Kevin Huerter revenge game tonight? And two, I want to dig further into the statement you made that last night's win might have been the best win of the last 3 years.
Okay.
We need to dig into that. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is rocking with us. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. D2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two! That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil rocking with us. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. And they'll take you up to 4 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, we've got college basketball for you right here on ESPN 1320.
Nice. Right.
The Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. All right, we need to talk about me almost making the Kings lose last night. Oh. We need to talk about me almost making the Kings lose last night.
Okay.
So.
You almost jinxed them?
I did. So what had happened was, let me get my exact times right here. With 56.2 seconds left, Donovan Mitchell in a three-point game. He missed that little floater. He had a couple of sick moves to get in the lane last night, by the way.
Oh, he's
Donovan Mitchell's nasty.
Yeah, he's playing so well.
So he misses that little floater with 56.2 left. Keegan Murray gets the defensive rebound with 54 seconds left. So what my brain did was I went, okay, as they're bringing the ball up the court, I'm going, okay, if you burn about 20 seconds of shot clock here, that leaves them 34 seconds in a five-point game. And then I kind of start, as the possession went, I had 30 seconds in my head still and then subtracted the shot clock again.
Oh.
So I had in my mind that by the end of that possession, there were going to be like, oh, 15-ish seconds left. And so when Malik hit the shot, I just tweeted out real quick, that's a good-ass win for the Kings.
Oh.
Because I thought, again, I'm doing stuff. I'm watching, but I'm not like super close because I had it up. I was second screening. I had it up on my phone. I was not like locked in, like looking at the time. I just messed up the math in my head.
Oh, gotcha.
Which happens a lot. So I tweet that out. I'm sitting here and I hear Donovan Mitchell hit that ridiculous three like 3 seconds later out of the timeout. Inbound, gets to the corner and hits it. And I hear that and I go, all right, well, how much time is left? And I look and I see that there's 32 seconds left.
Oh.
And I realized then, like, it all hit me at once. So I had to jump on the internet, had to delete the thing and hope that it didn't hose them. And it didn't, because Malik Monk went down and hit a couple of free throws. And the Kings took home a win. Ironically, he hit the free throws with about 12 seconds left, which is what I thought was going to be left at the end of the previous possession.
I never tweet out the final until it's actually done. Like, mm-hmm. So I Kings win with a period on the end. But I wait until the final second has ticked off the clock. Because I don't.
Four?
What do you mean?
When you just say Kings win.
Well, we're way ahead of TV. It's just to put it out there that the Kings win.
Okay. Right.
I don't put Kings lose every time.
Okay. Yeah. I was, that was almost my bad. And I wore it. I did the tweet again after they actually finally officially won.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all good. But it would have been, that would have been on me. I would have worn that. That's my fault.
We're both superstitious. It's funny.
It's not even superstitious. Like, I mean, I guess I am. I just don't want, like, I feel bad because I don't want to, I don't know. I just messed up. I'm not trying to make it like, oh my God, the Kings lost because of me.
Yeah.
Even though I have no impact on what's happening on the court. But anyways, that's what happened last night. My bad. Let's get to our guy Big E on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. Big E, what's up, man?
My guys, how y'all been?
Vibing, bro. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good, thank you. Don't worry, Kyle. I'm here to admit I'm also wrong. I'm taking back ever saying to make Malik our sixth man again. He's not like a traditional point guard, but I don't know which team has one these days. Unless we're going to bring back the Beam Team 1 offense, but who knows when Sabonis is going to be back. And then also, how did you guys feel about Devin Carter being in the closing lineup? I was super nervous, but I have to admit the young man came through.
Yeah. I you know what? Devin Carter was in the closing lineup out of necessity. Because Keon Ellis picked up his fifth, but I also thought he was just playing really, really well and causing a bunch of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was okay with it. He had not played crunch time minutes all season.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to be in that moment, like, look, if somebody earns it, they deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not
pull a guy playing well off the court just for the sake of it.
Yeah. And hey, let's be honest, they were missing three other rotational players last night.
Sure.
Yeah. They were missing DeMontis Sabonis, Zach LaVine, and Jake LaRavia.
Yeah.
You were down, you know, to only a few options there and mm-hmm. the options that you had, like some of them were playing well, but again, foul trouble with Keon. Mm-hmm. And you know, when a player's in foul trouble, it also shows you that maybe they're not being as effective defensively as, say, Devin Carter, who was able to play 30 minutes last night and had, what, two fouls?
Two.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So maybe just the matchup, for whatever reason, was better for Devin Carter.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, sure, it's going to be that way sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've been pretty steadfast in the team makes more sense with Keon starting and Malik coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Obviously, when Zach LaVine is out, that changes the calculus a little bit. Or if DeMar DeRozan was out, that changes the calculus a little bit. But I'm not ready to punt on the idea that Malik Monk absolutely has to start because he played really well last night. We've seen him play really well coming off the bench too.
No, I agree.
So I'm not, but last night he was freaking fantastic. So
to me, like, I don't mind Malik Monk as a starter. I think in this specific roster construction, the best thing would be to have him come off the bench and give you a
punch. That's all. That's
right?
all. That's thank you. That's all this is about.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not about Malik as a player.
No, no. And for me, I if Malik Monk is starting next to Keon Ellis, the Kings are probably going to be pretty solid. Like, they can mask each other's deficiencies, right? But then what you can't have is three guys who don't play defense in the starting lineup. You can't have three guys who want to score 20 every night and you're starting as your 1, 2, and 3. Like, that structurally doesn't make that much sense. But it's really difficult to change midstream. And I don't have anything with Malik. I've said it many times. I don't care who it is of the three. Either it's your star six man who's become a starter who earned a big contract, or it's the $43 million man, or it's the future Hall of Famer.
Sure.
One of them...
It's tough. It's not easy.
No.
No doubt.
One of them, to me, should be coming off the bench, but that's why they're going to, you know, Keon Ellis 4 minutes into the game to mask it.
Yeah. Yeah. Malik was very good last night. All right. Hey, bro. Look, let's get to TC. In Sacramento, wherever TC is. What's up, TC?
Kyle Hammer, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Oh, man, just vibing. Just a little before we get Kings, a little Niners. Kyle Hammer, I love what the Niners is doing with Brock right now, bro, period. I like that. Okay. As far as the game last night, I love what I've seen, Hammer. I like, man, we the lightning in the bottle. I mean, you hate to see players go down, right? But I like what I've seen from Devin, and that had to happen that way last night. And I like the strings that Doug is pulling, man. So I like the three defensive guys that we got, man. So what we throwing out there, Devin? Actually, no, we got more than that. We got Devin, Jake, Keon, and Keegan to go along with our scoring, bro. And overall, a team, good defense. So I think, man, I wish this season would have went different. But, hey, we are what we are. And I think we're going to be one of the scariest playoff teams. Well, excuse me, the play-in playoff teams getting in, bro. So that's all I got, man. We're going to be scary, y'all. Get ready.
My man. Appreciate you, TC. The Oak Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Yeah, you kind of, if you zoom out a little bit, you see the concept, the direction, I don't know the exact word I'm looking for. We see the outlines of how this rotation could be really, really good.
Yeah, but what I don't want is for the last 14 games, 15 games, whatever's left, for this to be like, hey, will this work for next season? Like, no. Like, for 82 games, like, again, it's not about talent, it's about fit. It's about piecing things together that make sense together. And, yeah, they had a major change in their lineup, you know, in their roster. And then they doubled down and added two more pieces that also changed the direction of this team as well. In Laravia and Jonas Valanciunas. But it was a stopgap. This needs to be, like, the road to what's next.
Yeah.
And it can't just be like, oh, we're going to add a couple, because first of all, they're going to lose before they add in the off season. Like, Trey Lyles is a free agent. You don't really have the $8 million a year that he's making this year. Maybe he comes back on a 2-year, $8 million deal, like $4 million a year or something, but you don't just have the money. You're not going to have all of these other pieces that you know, the back of the bench, I know he's not playing that much, but Jay Crowder or Doug McDermott, you're a lot of pieces are changing, and you're going to have to make major decisions on Keon Ellis's future. You're going to have to make major decisions on Keegan Murray's future this summer. Like, this should be like a really good, hey, we got to the finish line and we still are in the play-in. We survived a coach getting fired. We survived trading our best player. We survived the chaos of, you know, whatever it is that this entire season has been. That's where how we should be looking at. This should not be like, hey, can we run this back?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that's, and I don't think there's, I don't want to say anybody, but I think the general consensus is, okay, there's got to be some tweaks moving forward here. But I think what TC's talking about, when you look at, man, Jake Laravia looks like a just rotational contributor. Devin Carter, the last few games, has looked really good, specifically last night.
Well, LaRavia, again, sorry. We don't know if he'll be back next year.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Keon Ellis, and again, whether he's back long term, we don't. We've talked about before the decisions the Kings have to make there. But just talking about this year, when we go from, man, they've lost four in a row, and boy, they just, oof. But then you see them last night, and you see the way the pieces can fit, and just in a vacuum, just this year, not looking ahead to the offseason and beyond, just in a vacuum for this year, it's hard not to be like a little optimistic. Even if you're a pessimistic fan and you're like, this team just, I don't like, they're about 500. I think that's kind of what they are. Totally. I think they're about a 500 team. Maybe a game or two better, maybe a game or two worse, depending on how things shake out.
Yep.
But I think that's right about where they are. But the reason that they could still be dangerous, the reason that you go into a 9-10 matchup and you'd probably feel good about it, especially since you're likely hosting it, and then the reason you'd feel okay going on the road for a 7-8 matchup to try and grab the last play-in spot is because of nights like last night. Mm-hmm. It's because there are times when, hey, you know what? Everything lines up right. Everybody's playing really well. People are hitting shots. And nobody's doing, nothing happened last night that was like out of the ordinary. Devin Carter having a huge game was a little bit different, but that can happen.
And he didn't have a 25-point game.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't like over the moon, like, oh my God, Devin Carter went for 40. Like, yeah, no, it's just, oh, yeah, I think they can probably do that again. But the reason they're not better is because they haven't been doing this night in and night out. And that's going to be the question. But last night is proof positive that, like, it's in there.
Yeah.
Like, they have the pieces to be really dangerous.
But we have to remember that the team that just beat Memphis and Cleveland in back-to-back games is the same team that lost to Golden State and Phoenix in back-to-back games 5 days ago.
Well.
And that's the problem. That's where you have to keep reminding yourself that this is not a finished product.
Yeah.
They can be better. They can fight to the finish line. They can show a grit or a personality that we didn't know that they had. And, they might be able to win one. They might be able to win two play-in games. They might be able to get to the first round of the playoffs.
Sure.
That doesn't change the fact that this, the way they're constructed right now, is not the way that they should be constructed moving forward. Yeah.
All right, your calls on the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Your call's coming up. We'll take a look around the NBA scoreboard from last night. Good night for the Kings. If they're trying to make a little climb up the standings, we'll talk about that. And we'll dive into tonight's Kings-Bulls game as well. James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's behind the glass. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, man. The Kings and Bulls play tonight in a battle of the nine seeds. The lack of the juxtaposition between the play-in tournament in the West and the play-in tournament in the East is so funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, we do the thing a lot where we look at the Kings at 35 and 33, they would comfortably be the seven seed in the East. Comfortably.
Okay.
By multiple games. And that's just record. I know if you played in the East, you're playing an easier schedule, et cetera. I got it. They'd be better if they were in the East. The Bulls are 29 and 40. That would put them a half game behind the 13 seed Spurs in the West, and they're the number nine seed. The Kings and Bulls would both host a play-in game if the standings stay. And in the East, it's Hawks, Magic, Bulls, Heat. Those are your four play-in teams right now, and those are very likely going to be your four play-in teams, potentially in that exact order. Whereas in the West, and none of those teams are a threat. Nobody's looking at any of those four teams and going, don't want to see them. Maybe Orlando?
Yeah, maybe Orlando.
But the Hawks? Nah. Couldn't care less. The Bulls? Nah, no. The Heat? Not afraid. The Magic? Nah, okay. Maybe they give you a little series if you're Boston. Maybe they win a game. Maybe they get two. But you're not scared of the Magic. No. Then you jump to the West.
Yeah.
You've got the Clippers, the Timberwolves, the Kings, and the Suns are your four play-in teams in the West. And all four of those teams classify to me as, hey, I don't think the Thunder probably want to see any of them.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, with the Thunder specifically, I think the Thunder don't care. Mm-hmm. But everybody else in the Western Conference, like, I don't think the Rockets want the Kings in the first round.
No.
I don't think the Lakers, in their current state, like, I don't think that they want the Kings in the first round either.
Mm-mm.
Denver, maybe, but then again, you know, the Kings have played Denver strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's really interesting, too, if you look at the Eastern Conference has five teams that have 24 wins or less, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Western Conference has two.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to 29 wins or less, there are seven teams in the Eastern Conference and three in the West with 29 wins or less.
Jeez.
Like, there is a huge imbalance here. And what you took, the really, you know, the point that you made is that when you're in the Western Conference, you play every team in the Western Conference either three or four times. Mm-hmm. When you're in the Eastern Conference, you play every team in the Eastern Conference mm-hmm. either three or four times. You play every Western Conference team twice.
Mm-hmm.
And every Eastern Conference plays the Western Conference teams twice. Mm-hmm. Every Western team plays Eastern Conference twice. So you're playing, not only are your stats like going to be pumped up because of that, but like you're playing bad teams a lot of the time if you're in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I mean, seven teams that are 11 games under 500 or worse.
And you have...
That's crazy.
Toronto is actively not trying. Brooklyn has been actively not trying. The 76ers' two best players are now done for the year. Mm-hmm. The Hornets have not been trying all year. And the Wizards have not been trying all year.
Yeah.
This is not like... Oh, man, the 76ers were really good for 50 games, and then the wheels came off because they got hurt. Like, nah, they've just kind of been ass all year.
Oh, no, they have been horrible.
The Nets, the second it looked like, oh, hey, Jordy Fernandez got those guys playing well, it's like, nope, trade everybody.
Pull the plug.
Whoa, stop all this. Cam Johnson, your ankle hurts, right? Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, except for Cam Johnson. We're not trading Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
We want two firsts for Cam Johnson. Everyone else, off the ship.
Giving everyone away except Cam. Yeah, man. When we were just looking at the Bulls-Kings matchup, it was like, oh, they're both 9 seeds. And the Kings are 6.5 games up on the Bulls in the standings.
Yeah, all 9 seeds are not created equal.
No. Seven ahead in the loss column.
Oh. And the crazy thing is they're both on back-to-backs tonight. We have the dual back-to-back, which is I wish the NBA did more of this.
Yes,
like if
I
you're
agree with you.
Force teams to play back-to-backs, don't make it so ridiculous. Like I remember a couple of years ago, every single time the Kings played the Warriors, the Kings were on the second night of a back-to-back.
Man.
And it's like, how do you get a true gauge? And I know back-to-backs are a function of the league and all that, but at the same time, you know, like at least make them fair. And the league doesn't usually make them fair. I think this is twice the Kings have faced, like in the last 2 weeks, they faced a team on the second night of a back-to-back where both teams are on the second night. That's good.
God, the Bulls. So the Bulls have won 5 of their last 7.
Okay.
They road win against the Magic, road win against the Heat. They blew out the Pacers. They beat the Nets. They lost by 3 to the Rockets, who have been playing a lot better lately. They beat the heck out of the Jazz. They lose to the Suns by 6 last night. Now they play the Kings tonight. Then they're at the Lakers, at Denver, home Lakers, home Dallas, but then they're at OKC. That's a brutal stretch of games. Yikes.
Yeah.
Around the NBA last night, speaking of the standings, the Mavs are finally down to 11th. They held on to the 10 seed for a lot longer than I thought they were going to.
Way longer than they should have. Like,
they finally lost 4 in a row. The Suns won 2 in a row. They lost to the Mavs lost to the Pacers last night, 135-131, while the Suns beat these Chicago Bulls, 127-121, Phoenix now up to 10. So Phoenix would be the Kings opponent at Golden 1 Center in the play-in if the standings hold.
Yep.
That's bad. Bad news.
Don't well, you know, the interesting thing is that they're going to play each other on the last game of the season as well.
Yeah.
So you'll have like a tune-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's...
That might be a rest everybody game.
For both teams.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on if you're at the, where you're at in the standings. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're good. We're going to pull the plug on this game.
Yeah.
We'll see you in 3 days or whatever. Oh, yeah. Man. That's interesting.
Suns just stay in Sacramento?
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd leave.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. The Timberwolves lost to the Pelicans last night. Minnesota had been cruising. Now they've lost two in a row. Hey, man, look, Minnesota was due to lose a couple. It matters a little bit less for the Kings for now. If Sacramento plays as well as they did last night over the next week and a half, then we can start talking about 6 and 7 seeds again. But I see the vision with New Orleans. I see why New Orleans is so committed to this, to whatever they're doing.
Yeah, because will it ever work?
I don't know. I don't know. And that's, I have, Herb Jones is out. I think Trey Murphy's done for the year. Zion is an enigma. We have no idea. Part of me goes, why don't they just trade this dude? You could get assets for him. Like, accelerate this rebuild a little bit around Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, and you have CJ McCollum there. Now you have DeJounte Murray there. But then you see Zion play when he's healthy, and you're like, yeah, I get it. I get why they're not getting rid of this guy.
Yeah, I got into an interesting discussion on the court the other night about Zion and the situation that the Pelicans are in. And you do know that the second you trade him, he's just going to become that guy, and you're going to be the team that gave him up.
Yep.
You lucked
into him and then gave him away.
And you took pennies on the dollar because that's what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants his contract if he's not going to be able to play and all that stuff. Right now, he can't play back-to-backs, but that's a team mandate, not his own. And he wants to play in the back-to-backs. So he wants to be out there playing, and the team is holding him back, which is a sort of a shift from what's happened over the last couple of years. But he's like, hey, I keep getting pegged as this guy that just doesn't play, you know, and it's not me this time. Like, I'm ready to play, but they're just, like, putting that label on him. And... what are you supposed to do?
29 points, 5 boards, 8 assists, 3 steals, 12 of 16 from the field last night for Zion.
Wow.
In a win over a good Minnesota team. Man.
It's funny. They traded Brandon Ingram. Is he done for the year? He had the ankle problem, right?
I have no idea.
He hasn't played.
I have not. Brandon Ingram has ceased to exist in my head.
Yeah. He's never played.
Huh.
After getting traded, he never
played
again.
That makes sense. They're tanking. You get healthy. You sign into the big extension. You try next year.
I guess. And they did give him the extension.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just totally bizarre.
I have a question. Speaking of the 9-10 matchup, we talked about the Suns and like, oh, man, I don't want to see the Suns. The Blazers very sneaky after beating the hell out of the Grizzlies last night. 115-99 the final there. Portland's 2 back of the 10 seed.
So you're saying
by
there's
accident.
A chance.
Like by accident, apparently. I talked to one of our guys in Portland, and I just said, hey, what's the deal here? Because you're right. You said they've been playing hard. When I watch Portland, that doesn't look like a team that's going, hey, we know what this is. Because you see that players don't tank, right? We hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. But players also kind of know. And it's probably really tough to get up for an NBA game when you know that your team actively doesn't want you to win. Your organization is rooting against you. That's probably tough. That's not what Portland's doing right now. They're playing their asses off. And so I talked to one of our guys in Portland. I said, what's the deal here? Are they gunning for the 10 seed? And he's like, well, kind of. Like, in air quotes. Like, they're not actively trying, but they've been so blatant about their tanking that they're now on, like, a watch list from the NBA. I don't know if there's literally a watch list, but they basically are afraid the NBA is going to come down on them. So they're not, you know, faking all these injuries or having...
pulling a injuries. Utah Jazz?
Yeah, correct. They're not doing the Utah Jazz move. And just blatantly tanking. And they might accidentally run into the 10 seed. Because Dallas is out.
Yep.
They are just too banged up to be viable. The Suns, I have no idea what you're going to get from the Suns on a night-in, night-out basis.
Not at all.
And if you just told me that Portland try-harded their way to the 10 seed, it wouldn't shock me at all. And I don't know if I would rather, if I'm the Kings, I don't know if I'd rather play the Blazers, who would have to get hot to get the 10 seed, who are young and exciting and like, hey, we're here now, we're going to try our asses off. Or if I'd rather play the Suns, who all hate each other, and you got to deal with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and just the kind of list of talent they have. I don't know which team I'd rather play.
This reminds me of the Kings under Vlade.
The Blazers?
Yeah, the Blazers do.
How so?
Because the Kings were bad, but they wouldn't let go of the rope. They wouldn't cash in the season under Vlade.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, like, we're not just going to lose every game. We're just not going to do that. We're not going to, you know, just be bad to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, in the 2016-17 season, they go 32-50. They kept pushing, right? And yeah, at the end of the season, that's the year they traded DeMarcus.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have been much bigger, much better than the 8 spot in the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
They moved up to number 3 and then had a pick swap with Philadelphia and dropped to number 5.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, they were number 8 in that draft. And in the lottery, they were number 8. And it was because they're like, hey, we're not just going to tank the rest of the season. That's we don't want to set that as a standard of who we are. The next season, they had all these young kids, and they did the same thing. They went 27-55.
Mm-hmm.
That team easily could have been a 21 team if they just let off the gas and said, okay, we're not going to push.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they ended up number 8. And moved up to number 2, where they took Marvin Bagley, which is a whole nother disaster. But the fact is, they just kept pushing because they didn't want the culture of their team to be that of just like horrible. And then in Dave Yeager's final year, they go 39-43.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they really did sort of use some of those training years that they didn't quit to put on a good show. You know, did they fail in the end? Yeah, they failed down the stretch, but still, you know, 39 wins. And the crazy thing was, that was like my 10th season covering the team, or 9th season. That's the most wins by 6 games that I'd ever covered in a season.
That's so crazy.
And that's the year that all they did was run the whole season. Mm-hmm. And then all the drama behind the scenes with Yeager and Brandon Williams, just like chaos. But I appreciated the fact that they tried to win.
And yeah, man.
I think the basketball gods, like if there are basketball gods, shine down upon the Kings for not giving in. And that's why you go from number 8 to number 2. And that's why, you know, or number 8 to number 3 and, you know, the pick swap situation. I think playing it out the right way, it feels better and it looks better, and you're allowing your players to grow naturally without just like putting the culture of losing in your building. Because getting the stink of that culture out is tough.
It's really that's why what Doug Christie has done this year has been such a big deal to me.
Yeah,
like forget how this season goes, and that's why I'm like, yeah, just make him the coach. Because no matter how this season ends up, maybe they lose the 9-10 game, maybe they go to the first round, maybe they go to the second round. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What we've seen is this team that did not. How many times last year did we use the phrase let go of the rope?
Oh, yeah.
So many. And they just don't. Like,
and they won 46 games.
Right. The mindset is different. The culture is different. Like, I want to rock with whatever Doug is doing, but that's a kind of separate thing. Did you just say the basketball gods shine down on the Kings?
Yeah, in those drafts. I mean, whether they did made the right pick or not.
Huh.
I don't know. I thought that by playing it out, like, it just...
just mean from the lottery, and then it's up to the Kings.
Yeah, yeah. When you get to when you go from the number 8 in the lottery and jump to number 2, when
that's a massive leap.
That's never happened for the Kings until the 2017 and 2018 drafts. I mean, like, look, the year that they got Tyreek Evans, they were the worst team in the league by far. They went into the lottery as a number 1 odds.
Mm-hmm.
They finished. And they had the 4th pick.
Which was as low as they could go.
3 teams moved above them. The next season, they had the 2nd worst record in the NBA. 4 teams jumped above them.
Jesus.
And they were the 5th seed. They were the fifth pick. So, like, the lottery has never typically done right by the Kings. You know, the best pick they ever had.
And then it finally did, and they passed on Luka.
Yeah. Jesus. Although they hit with Fox.
They did. They did hit with Fox.
Yeah.
Man.
Man, the Luka thing will always forever.
It's just always going to be, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. We're past it. We're moving on.
Yeah.
But it's just when you start, it's just for 16 years they missed the playoffs, and so the missteps are the story, and that just, man.
Yeah,
also, real quick, speaking of tanking teams, the Jazz and Wizards played last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into the fact the NBA lets the Jazz get away with whatever the hell the Jazz are doing.
Yeah.
Whoever attended that game and stayed for 48 minutes deserves an award. You have to do something when the Jazz and Wizards play late in the season. You have to do something. The NBA needs to, I don't know what it is. I don't even have an idea for this. You have to do something to make that game interesting.
Like an L plush toy.
Yeah.
just an L.
No, I don't. It's not an in-season tournament. You can't have players playing for draft position. Because that doesn't motivate a player.
No.
For fans, it's like, oh, hey, if we win tonight, we get, you know, a better chance at the number one pick. Okay, that might be fun. But that doesn't change anything for the players. I don't think it changes the quality of the game at all. But you have to do something late in the year to make the Jazz and the Wizards game matter in some way.
I honestly think you should throw them all in one big group, and the lottery is not based off, like, after you draw the first four picks, after that it goes in draft order.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the top, all 14 teams to have the same odds. Like, don't, like, they have allowed the culture of tanking, the NBA. Yeah. They have allowed that to sink into their,
yeah,
and now teams are tanking the entire season for Cooper Flagg.
Or if you hit, right, or if you hit some point in the calendar, your odds go up based on wins or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But again, but then you might have teams that are genuinely just ass, and now they're being punished even though they're trying. I don't know. There's no good, like, solution to it. I just saw Jazz and Wizards on the scoreboard last night and was like, good God. People went to that.
Oh.
People watched that.
That's tough.
People are doing radio shows about that game right now. Yikes. He's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's pushing buttons. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The handoff. D'Lo and I got an issue with D'Lo right now.
Oh, you got beef?
Well, let's just go to break.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
People in here talking about the Anunnaki, man. This is great. Whatever your show, D'Lo and Casey's coming up next. D'Lo's here for the handoff. Whatever your show did to get pyramids and conspiracy theories around the pyramids,
yeah,
to be a thing that just people associate with this station,
yeah,
it's the best thing you guys have ever done.
I can't remember how that happened to be. I don't remember how most of our day to day show goes, but that did happen.
Okay. Yeah, it was great.
What movie was Kenny in? Because he wasn't part of that.
Yeah, I was not part of that discussion.
Oh, I think it was called The Hustle. Yeah, okay. I think it's called The Hustle. It's a it's a Deion Taylor production from 2008.
How are we just now finding out that Kenny was in a movie?
I'm not sure. He's mentioned Pros versus Joes 17 dozen times.
Sure.
I'm not sure why the extra in the movie has gone.
Yeah, how does that go? Have we seen the clip?
Oh, we aired damn near the whole movie on the air. We did.
He's wearing like a XL polo, double XL polo. No,
probably a 3X. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, no beard. Definitely looks younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's out there. Man. It's on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube.
Okay. Know what I'm doing tonight.
Well, just skip to the 56-minute mark and see Casey and then keep it moving.
Okay, bet. Not
love
not an
Deion
Oscar
Taylor,
winner.
Though. Deion Taylor's my guy. I did not watch the movie.
Okay.
We just watched the Kenny scenes on mute. He didn't have
no
a speaking.
He does not have
it. My girl Nikki McElroy from high school, shout out El Camino High School. She had a speaking line.
Was this filmed in Sacramento?
It was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
All right.
Deion Taylor, Sacramento.
Okay. Great. Salute. Why do you hate people that want Keon Ellis to start for the Kings when we continue to have evidence that the Kings are really good when he starts?
I don't hate those people at all.
Why do you call them Keon truthers?
Because that
makes us sound like conspiracy theorists.
Well,
there's literally dozens of us.
Well, let's go back to how this conversation started.
Okay, please.
And it started with you talking about the pyramids. And then you don't know this, but then we went to Stonehenge. Or maybe you do know
this.
You do know that.
Yeah.
And then eventually JFK came up. And so, we tied the Keon Ellis crowd into that crowd, and I just named them Keon Truthers.
You know what? Happy to be here now.
Good. I'm glad.
Every time he starts, they win. And it's just,
I don't know that that's mathematically accurate, but I
anecdotally, like, every time he starts, they win. James, James is looking it up right now.
I will.
Okay. I don't mind the conversation at all. Like, I don't, I think there's a lot of things at play yesterday. I don't think the Kings beat the Cavs because Keon Ellis started, but I do think they had a game plan that they wanted to execute, and Keon helped that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's outrageous that Jonas Valanciunas helped that. I thought Keegan Murray was terrific yesterday.
Yep.
I thought they were able to maintain. I thought they were able to, I don't want to say handle that lineup that they had, but they kept themselves within striking distance, mm-hmm. and then somehow they struck. That was the part that, like, going into halftime, I thought, this isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I just didn't think they'd be able to strike.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
They struck in that third quarter. And then, of course, the 3-point lead, 1-point lead, 3-point lead, 1-point lead. It's DeMar, it's Mobley, it's Donovan, it's DeMar. It's like, we're going to lose this battle. Like, I was like, the next time it drops to one and they miss, we're effed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because Donovan is going to put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
No, it was great.
DeMar did it.
It was
Malik
so
did it. And I think it was after the Malik shot. They got the net. They were the ones that got the stop.
Yeah.
And were able to solidify the win. So, I mean, I think they played everyone who spoke yesterday, Carter and Keegan.
Oh, Keegan.
Both said the same thing. And I think, I don't remember if Doug said it or not, but I know the players said it. We had a game plan and we executed it,
mm-hmm.
particularly in the second quarter on. We were able to execute the game plan that the coaches put together for us. And Keon was obviously a big part of that. So I don't have any problem with people who think Keon Ellis should start. I don't have any problem with the sentiment that Keon Ellis should start. My issue is there's like 15 games left in the season. The idea of implementing that now, thinking it's going to get you to what you hope your final destination to be, is probably short-sighted and doesn't factor in human emotion.
Yeah, no, and so we always talk about that. Like, this is what they should do, but they can't for these reasons.
Mm-hmm. You certainly can't now.
It's you have a Hall of Famer and a $43 million guy, and Malik is now the starter, and you don't want to take him out of the year by putting him back on the bench. I totally get it. I think for me, it's just like, that's the avatar for everything you just talked about. A huge reason they won last night was not because they had a bunch of guys who, like, oh man, he's in his bag.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they had a bunch of dudes who did the little things.
Yeah.
And they need more of that.
Yeah.
And Keon and being in the starting lineup is just a perfect avatar for, like, that direction the Kings need to be heading.
Well, I think what they had is they had multiple guys besides Keon who could do that yesterday. James said, I think it was yesterday on this show and on ours, that second unit has a style of playing that maybe the first unit doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps them. That's that scrappy, get after it, like wolf fight mentality that can, well, win games for you.
Yeah.
But you also need, again, we talk about Keon, we talk about all these different things. In the 3-point, 1-point, 3-point, 1-point, 3-point, 1-point, that was DeMar. And that was Malik Monk.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And that's what those guys can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys can keep you in position to win.
They're killers.
You know, win a game. DeMar shot that ball in the final minutes of that game with so much confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he took shots where it's like, you can see him, he's not passing. Like, he feels this. He feels this matchup. He knows what he has right here. He's going to get this basket.
Yeah.
And he did every time.
I think it's interesting. Like, if we go back to early in the season, every player that you had to bring off the bench was just a different version of a guy who shot a three-point shot.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, you got a bunch of scrappy dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that's how you're going to win some of these games, these mm-hmm. ugly games. The Kings are 10-5 when Keon starts. And we have to do a keyword.
Oh, we do. Today's Jiffy Lube $50 gift certificate exclusive Truther. Jiffy Lube hoodie.
Oh, what? Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not Truther.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Dang it. ESPN1320.com, Jiffy Lube contest page, $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Exclusive insider's hoodie you can only get through this giveaway. You go to ESPN1320.com, you hit that contest page, enter the code word FRIAR.
FRIAR.
F-R-I-A-R. FRIAR. For Devin Carter in his career high 16 points last night. He was terrific.
Yep. Enter to win.
Enter to win. It's funny you talk about DeMar DeRozan. So in my daily fantasy lineup, I had DeMar DeRozan higher than 4.5 assists, and he was sitting at like 4 assists entering the fourth quarter, and I was like, uh-oh, this is dicey. And then it was a close game with like 5 minutes left, and I was like, I'm not getting that assist. Mm-mm. There's no chance I'm getting this assist. And he didn't even pretend to pass the ball. One time he got it out to Keegan on the perimeter so he could get out to the perimeter and get the ball back and then work on his dribble again. I was like, yeah. All right, that's fine.
And I was fine with that.
I have zero problem with that
last night. And that's what it needed to be.
And but that's like when James and I talk about DeMar DeRozan, and when he, it's like that's where you want that.
Mm-hmm.
In that spot,
yep.
Where it's like, this is a powerhouse Eastern Conference team. I shouldn't even say Eastern. This is a powerhouse NBA team.
Yeah.
And you need to go bucket for bucket with them down the stretch.
Yeah.
There are not that many dudes you'd rather have than DeMar DeRozan in that spot.
Wholeheartedly agree.
So that was not a complaint that he didn't pass it. It was I knew that, like, oh, this is his time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's when you want him. Random second quarter when you're down 10, and maybe not the best time. That's all.
Yeah.
But last night it was outstanding. And just the variety of ways he did it. And just like, hey, I want this switch onto the potential DPOY, and I'm going to cook.
I don't often get, like, emotionally into games. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just...
Yeah.
Not that I don't, I do want the Kings to win. I'm just not really that fan.
Yeah.
I was invested in last night's game. Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, doing things like this. I was doing like little nervous habits, like, you know, as the ball was going up and down the floor, just like, come on.
Did you get like a.
No, I actually didn't. Right. I just did a little. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Too cool for a fist pump.
No, it was more like, yeah, we're going to have a good day tomorrow. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know how you watch it. I don't, when you go, oh, the regular season doesn't matter. Who watches regular season? It's like, because of that, dude.
That's all I have.
I don't know. Well,
what are we talking about?
I just don't know. I don't, if you're just an NBA fan, I don't know how you watched last night and you're not like, hey, that was great hoops.
No, that was a lot of fun.
That was
so much fun.
What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
A lot of this. Jake Gayden's going to be with us. The tournament gets underway today over on CBS 13. Will Z is going to be with us, I think, at 2, and then Matt George, final hour of the show.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. They'll take you up to 4 o'clock. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. We are the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Until 10 a.m. tomorrow, drink water, be nice, people. Boop.